Here, Winnipeg, Manitoba, the corner of Selkirk Avenue and King Street. This is the last place where Claudette Osborne Tayo, also known as Penny Tayo, was seen. It was here that Claudette said goodbye to her sister Tina and was never seen or heard from again. A daughter, a sister, the mother of four children, Claudette has been missing for more than 8 years. Claudette Osborne Tayo was just 21 years old when she was last seen at the corner of King Street and Selkirk Avenue on July 24th, 2008. She was distressed and tried to call her family for help, but her messages were received too late. At any time during this broadcast or afterward, if you have any information that might help solve the case of the disappearance of Claudette Osborne Tayo, visit our website. Someone out there has answers. Our goal is to find them. How could a girl who came from a loving family in a remote northern community end up missing from one of the roughest areas in Winnipeg? What happened to this young mother who was happy and in love, newly out of the hospital after having a baby, to make her vulnerable to violence in a seedy hotel? Who was Claudette Osborne Tayo? Claudette Priscilla June Osborne Tayo was born on May 15, 1987, in Norway House Cree Nation. Claudette's sister Bernie was a teenager when Claudette was born.
She was like this little tomboy that, you know, loved to be around adults, but she also liked to, you know, call the shots and, you know, be around the little ones too. Everyone looked after everyone's kids. You know, everyone knew each other. You know, you didn't have to worry about your kids.
Claudette was raised in an environment where everybody had her back. Claudette was 12 years old when her mom served the family porridge for breakfast, suddenly triggering her father's memories of his experiences in residential school.
In that Catholic school, my dad was raped by a priest that was bringing him porridge.
While her father was in the hospital, Claudette was sexually abused by a close family friend. Her happy childhood was no more. Claudette didn't know where to turn.
She just started running away. She started taking off, coming to the city.
In the city as a young teenager, Claudette fell prey to an abusive older man who introduced her to drugs and forced her into prostitution.
He would make her go out and make the money so that they could do their drugs.
Claudette's family tried to intervene.
I remember my stepmom, even my dad, going out and, you know, physically taking Claudette and putting her in the car and saying, like, we need you safe because, you know, we always, you know, feared that this would happen.
Claudette went into treatment to get help for her addiction.
You know, I went to see her in treatment. That was the last time I saw her. She wanted to, you know, go back to school to become a social worker to help, you know, girls like her. But she wasn't given that chance.
At the time of her disappearance, Claudette was engaged to Matthew Bushby.
She was an amazing person. She filled the room with her personality and her smile. Her laughter was electrifying and unique. You could hear it down the block.
I think that love, that unconditional love, right? She had finally found someone that didn't want anything from her, right? That wanted to take care of her. Because Matt was very much like that. You know, he's a really good dad too. And Matt even moved out of the city to take her away from that peer pressure. You know, he moved all the way out to Emerson. You know, there's land there. He bought some quads and a snowmobile, you know, trying to, I guess, make her feel like home.
But Claudette didn't stay. To stave off the pain of her childhood abuse and exploitation, Claudette continued to douse her spirit with drugs and to prostitute herself to pay for them. Even the love of Matthew and her children couldn't heal Claudette's pain of being abused by someone she trusted and having no one believe her.
There wasn't any doubts in my mind who she loved. And I just waited for the pain to subside and she'd be able to deal with things better. And, she would come back and work on herself even stronger. And she was always mad at herself for being weak and being able to handle things better.
Claudette was known not to use when she was pregnant. But while pregnant with her daughter, Patience, her pain was too deep and she slipped.
Claudette was, alone in the hospital and had CFS come in and apprehend her.
They said that it was a risk for Patience to go home and that either she went home or, Patience went into care or Patience went home and Claudette couldn't live there. They decided that, okay, she needed to be home for Isaiah. And what they would do is they would work on getting Patience back. And, we think that the guilt of that decision, was too heavy on her.
Someone has information on the disappearance of Claudette Osborne Tayo. Visit our website. Claudette's sister Tina claimed that Claudette said goodbye to her at the corner of Selkirk and King. But for a long time, it was thought that the last time Claudette was seen was leaving the Lincoln Motor Hotel on McPhillip Street in Winnipeg on July 24th, 2008, between 2 and 6 a.m. Surveillance cameras picked up Claudette leaving the hotel. But by the time police requested the footage, nearly 2 weeks after her disappearance, it had been recorded over. Why was police response to Claudette's disappearance so slow? Who is hiding information and why? And could Claudette Osborne Tayo still be alive? Claudette Osborne Tayo was last seen by her sister Tina, who said goodbye to her at a crosswalk in Winnipeg, Manitoba, at King Street and Selkirk Avenue on July 24th, 2008. After suffering sexual abuse as a child at the hands of a trusted family friend, Claudette was lured from Norway House to Winnipeg, where drugs were easily available to a beautiful young girl. But to pay for them, she was forced to prostitute herself. Her street name was Penny Tayo. The night she went missing, Claudette made several calls for help, but the messages were received too late. The night she was last seen, Claudette wore pinstripe pants and a black ruffled shirt. At 5'4" tall, she weighed approximately 130 pounds. Although her sister Tina says Claudette was with her that night, some accounts have Claudette leaving the Lincoln Motor Hotel with a man, possibly a long-haul truck driver from Calgary. What really happened to Claudette Osborne Tayo? Sergeant Sean Pike is with the Winnipeg Police Service. He became involved in Claudette's case in 2011 with Project Devote.
What I can tell you about Claudette is when her disappearance was reported, she was 21 years old. She was a mother of four. Recently had given birth to her youngest child within a couple weeks prior to her disappearance. The information that we had in regards to a timeline, again, was on July the 25th of 2008. We had learned that she was at the Lincoln Hotel on McPhillip Street in Winnipeg. We know that at approximately 6 o'clock in the morning, she left that hotel. She made her way down to the area of King and Selkirk Avenue, and that is the last known location that we have.
And that night, they were at the Lincoln Motor Hotel, and she had made several calls from the hotel phone, saying that she wanted to be picked up. This man was trying to force himself on her and that she felt unsafe, that she needed someone to pick her up. After she made those phone calls, nobody came. I think she got pretty desperate and she grabbed this man's keys and threw them out the window of the hotel. And he went to look for where his keys were and my sister took off out the door. And she went right past the deskman and just, bolted right out. We know my sister went you know, southbound on McPhillips. And we knew that she made it to Selkirk Avenue. There was a phone on Selkirk and Battery, a payphone. So we know she made several calls wherever there was a payphone down Selkirk Avenue, asking, you know, to be picked up, or, you know, we know that there were several of those numbers after, you know, them being able to get a warrant that to get the calls, it like took 2 years, you know, for them to get a judge to sign off on them getting those phone records from that phone card.
Did Claudette try to escape from a man who was harassing her at the Lincoln Motor Hotel? Did she make her way to Selkirk Avenue and King Street, or end up at another location? There are several details of Claudette's case that law enforcement will not comment on.
And those are details in the investigation that I won't speak about today. And again, the reason that we don't, it's never to be cruel, it's never to be difficult, but ultimately we have to balance the needs of the family, of the public, and balance it with the needs of our goal of bringing people to justice. And with that, the police, there's information that we have to keep in, and it's those finer details, and that's the reason that's that.
At approximately 6:30 on the morning of July 24th, 2008, Claudette made her last call from the corner of King and Selkirk in Winnipeg.
Then when Tina put her minutes on her phone and got that message, you know, she went right to the police station and said, I got this message from my sister, you know, no one's seen her for the last 3 days. You know, we're concerned for her. And, you know, basically she was given an instant number and told she'll turn up. Just give it a day or two. And, you know, 10 days later, no Claudette, and police not investigating. There was no media release put out, and we were, you know, saying to the police, something's wrong. You know, you need to let the public know that she's missing, you know. And they wouldn't do anything. You know, we had to get the chief of Norway House to, you know, get in touch with the police to facilitate a meeting to get them to do something.
Bernadette and other family members took matters into their own hands.
And in November, we went, we put up posters, we asked the media to do some advertising for us to get people out to come and search. Nobody showed up but our family. And we were like, what the hell's going on here? Like, where is everybody? Why is our community caring about, you know, this person who's a part of their community? And it was really hard. I remember being so angry.
Can one of the first investigators on Claudette's case shed new light? Is anything being done now to find Claudette and bring her home? And how is Claudette's sister helping change the country for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and their families? July 24th, 2008. Claudette Osborne Tayo was 21 years old. She said goodbye to her sister Tina and disappeared from the corner of King Street and Selkirk Avenue in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Several calls for help were missed and discovered too late. You may have clues that help solve the disappearance of Claudette Osborne Tayo or any other unsolved homicides or missing person cases. Visit our website. Before there was Project Devote, a joint task force between the RCMP and Winnipeg Police Services, Robert Christmas was an investigator on Claudette's case.
I was running the missing persons unit for the Winnipeg Police Service at the time. And at that time, we were in a period of change. There was a growing awareness about the vulnerability and the importance of front-loading missing person cases, where historically in the past, often these cases wouldn't be given a high priority until much further on. So at that period of time, right at that time, we were looking at policies and our approach to things and actually jumping on these cases and making them a top priority. So they're very emotionally charged and demanding. In the early days of that investigation, the investigators that I worked with and me, you know, we worked probably 20-hour days. And this was also while juggling daily urgent other cases that were coming up. So the challenges were incredible.
Working on cases like Claudette's can take an emotional toll.
It's tough, and I'll tell you, and to be quite honest, when you deal with these kind of investigations over any extended period of time, you feel it, you really do. This isn't a job where we work 8 to 4 and go home and that's it. I can say personally, I think about this all the time in one form or another.
One thing I've learned through my experience investigating long-term missing person cases is that urgency never leaves. Those families sit with a feeling of loss, and it doesn't dissipate even over a decade or decades. And when an investigator goes to call back a family of a missing loved one who's been missing for 15 years, they better know the details of that case.
Through the tireless efforts of many people, things are changing for the loved ones left behind by Canada's missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. One of the strongest advocates for change, Claudette's own sister, Bernadette Smith.
Bernie was a really strong one, and in fact, she's gone on to become a national advocate.
Our family has worked really hard to make sure that families don't have to go through what we're going through. You know, that the responses are different and that people know that these women are not just, you know, what the media portrays them to be. That they're loved, that they're valued, that there's people that care about them.
On December 8th, 2015, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau launched the first phase of a national inquiry into the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Claudette's sister Bernadette was there. For those who never got a chance to know Claudette, this is what her sister Bernadette would like to tell them.
She had goals. You know, she was loved. She had a family who loved her. She had kids who loved her. You know, when I say loved, I don't know why I'm saying past tense, but you just don't know, right?
Besides the daily devastation of missing a loved one, there is also the terrifying possibility of Claudette being kept alive and held against her will.
The last that we know about Claudette is that she was on the street at King and Selkirk at 6:30 in the morning on July the 25th, 2008. That's her last known whereabouts, her last known contact. What has happened in her life and past since that time, we don't know. And it is scary, absolutely it is.
If there's one thing Claudette's sister Bernadette could say to her,
I would tell her that I loved her, that I miss her, that we want her to come home. And I'm sorry we didn't do more for her.
If Claudette's fiancé, Matthew, could speak to her,
I would say come home. She was my soulmate, and, you know, even if it would be where she and I couldn't be together, you know, her kids need her in their life so bad that it really doesn't matter what's transpired in the last seven years. She needs to come home. If somebody knows anything that could help the police move forward and find Claudette, I just call on them to do the right thing. Yeah, phone Anonymous and the Crime Stoppers or the Project Devote. Just help us. Help us get some closure and give my children a chance to know what has happened.
For more information about Claudette Osborne Tayo, visit our website.